Welcome to Story Chats at Inspi Romance. I'm Elizabeth Madry, and I'm here with my two co-hosts.
I'm Narelle Atkins.
And I'm Valerie Comer.
All right, today, here again, we have no guests today, but we are going to be talking about books, CCR in particular, in non-US settings. So I started out saying international, but then I'm like, that means something different for each of the three of us. So... So non-US settings, so that we're a little more inclusive of what the term international means. And I'm super excited about this conversation because I love armchair traveling. I just think that's, well, I prefer to actually travel, but given that, you know, finances don't allow you to just travel constantly, although, you know, who wouldn't want to have a travel show and just roam the world and get paid for it? That would be amazing. But since we can't all do that, books provide that escape, which is just fabulous. So sometimes it's hard to find them because it seems like, and when we were talking about doing this episode, Narelle sort of summed it up super well. She's like, the ongoing question is always, will North American and more specifically US readers buy Christian fiction, particularly Christian romance, with a non-US setting and or non-US main characters? And honestly, the question made me kind of sad because I'm like, yes, they ought to, because why wouldn't you? But I know I'm not necessarily able to speak for everyone. So what do you guys think? Is that the primary question as far as your mind, and how would you answer it?
I think that it definitely was a problem, let's say 10 years ago, for sure, when everything was traditionally published and the publishers really needed to look at how they were going to make their money back. And they would say, or agents would say to wannabe writers, you're going to have a much better shot at it if you write in a US setting. Because that just removes one of the potential barriers. And they said, you know, we do experiment with it, but every time they prove that we just, for the similar book, we would still get like 25% less sales. So we just can't do it. And you kind of get that. But boy, I tell you, indie publishing has ripped that wide open. Don't you think, Narelle?
Oh, absolutely. I think the best thing that ever happened to authors that are living outside the US is indie publishing, because the gatekeepers are no longer there. We can go straight to readers now. And so readers once upon a time would complain, oh, I'd love to read a book set in Norway, for example, but the publishers wouldn't publish anything there for their particular genre. But now an author can write a book set in Norway and go straight to the reader. So I think it's still a different set of problems now, I think, to what that original question was. And I've been to a numerous RWA and ACFW conferences where I've actually asked editors and agents about US settings. And as Valerie said, it was always the same answer. We would love to do it. We personally love reading books set outside of the US, but we're a business and we need to balance our books and make money. And we have to choose the projects that are in the best interests of the company going forward. And I mean, that's just the way the world works.
Sure.
There's not really much you can do about that.
Yeah. And that kind of is still the case, even with any book in particular. If you as a reader want to see more of that sort of thing, you need to make sure that you're voting with your dollars or whatever currency of choice you're spending, or in Kindle Unlimited, and you're taking advantage of those so that even indie authors see, you know, it was worth my time and effort to produce this. I mean, that's kind of true across the board, but the traditional publishers' expenses are so much more than
we can make a profit with much fewer sales than a big publisher with their building that they need to heat and have lights on and all the people they need to pay that work the mail room and, you know, whatever. We're just us. And if we can clear our expenses, which are much lower, then we're good to go as indie authors. So I think, yeah, I see quite a few non-US settings these days. Mind you, I tend to look for them. Yeah. But Yeah, you can travel anywhere right now, except not in real life.
Not in person.
Because COVID. Yeah. But so it makes it especially attractive to read books that are set wherever.
For sure. Cool. All right. So before we start listing all of our favorites from other people, I know that we actually have all written and published books with non-US settings. So I figure, you know, we don't always get to promote our own stuff, but it makes sense that we could in this episode. So I'd love for us to spend a couple minutes talking about, you know, what our international books are, why we chose that setting, and whether or not you plan to keep writing more like that. So I don't care who goes first. Valerie, you go first.
I'll go first. I have written a 5 novella series called Riverbend, and it is set in British Columbia, rural British Columbia, which is where I live, but the setting is fictional. And it was fun to write because I just could kind of look out the window and see what the world was like out there and use that setting. I've got over 35, I haven't counted lately, how many books I've got written, but those are the only 5 that are set in Canada. So would I write more set in Canada? Well, in theory, sure. But in practicality, my Farm Fresh Romance series was the first one to be published, and I was aiming that at traditional publishing. So I set it in Idaho, which is not far from where I live. And then when I decided to take that indie, after all, it just seemed like too much work to rewrite the setting because it was just more involved than I wanted it to be. But then that one series led to spin-off series and stuff. And now I've got like 30 some books that are all kind of intertwined. And I just go, I just can't quite separate another series totally, but there is stuff in my mind, and I have a couple of unpublished ones that are set in Victoria, British Columbia, that may someday, and they're not connected to each other at all, that I might publish someday, but right now I'm up to here with all the ones that I've got on my plate, and so it won't be in the next year or two for sure.
What about you, Narelle?
Well, interestingly, all my books have been set outside of the US, everything I've written that I've published. Mm-hmm. And all my main characters have also been outside, not American characters. So my traditionally published books, I will get back into print, but I'll be honest, one of my hesitations for actually getting my series back into print is the fact it's an Australian setting, and I know that I'll have a lower return on those most likely, particularly since I've already been bought and already been in the market, than if they were set in the US. So when I relaunch those books, I'm assuming that I'm spending an X amount of money on the cover, the editing, because I need to get them updated as well, because they'll be out of date with technology, and I've got to assume I'm not going to make that money back in a very quick time. So it's an investment of money I've got to sort of put aside. So that's one of my factors in why the current series I'm looking at writing is set in the US, and it comes down to that's where the readers are, and the readers like reading books set in America. And so that's where my head is probably at the moment with what I'm doing. But I will go back to Australia when I get more time to actually write and make some progress on that. I will definitely write more things in Australia, but probably in the near distant future, new things and means probably going to be a US setting.
Okay.
With Australian characters?
One I'm working on at the moment, which I've literally just started to prepare to write, is a Chapel Cove book in that series, Chapel Cove Romance, with Autumn MacArthur and Marianne Newcomen and Alexa Verde. So hopefully that book will come out this year, and that will be all American. I won't have any Australian characters in that book.
That'll be
at this stage. Yes, but I am working on a project with some Australian romance author friends at CCR, probably releasing 2023. So that's a bit of a way off now, but we're looking at creating a multi-author series set in a small town in the US, and that will probably have possibly one Australian or New Zealand character, or possibly both, might be American, depending on who's writing. Right, so that will have more of an Australian thing.
I feel like Hugh Jackman has like paved the way for Aussies just to be in America all the time. So we just make them all Aussies, because we just will listen to them and pretend it's Hugh, and we'll be good. So I mean,
but plausibly, it's like how many Australians can possibly live in a small town in the US? And I think it's fun I think there can be a lot of fun in having that cultural mix. And that it's almost, you know what I mean, that tension that comes from having one character from one country, one character from another's different cultural norms and things like that, that you can play with as well. So I don't know. I'll see what comes to me. I don't have everything set in concrete. I do change my mind quite often.
Tell us about yours, Beth.
Well, I have, I guess, two, although one is not really wholly set. Like, I have a book that's part of the Tuscan Legacy multi-author series. Most of the other books are more international than mine is. It has a little in Italy, but not as much. Then it comes back to the US, just because that's the way my characters ended up being. And I don't plan and plot. And you've probably heard writers say that the characters do their own thing. And that is so me. So mine were like bound and determined that they were not going to be overseas. And I'm like, all right, well, oops. But then I do have my reader magnet. Actually, you can get it for free when you sign up for my newsletter, is Kinsale Kisses. And it's set in Kinsale, Ireland. I love Ireland. I would love to set a series in Ireland. I might have to do that. We'll have to see. I'm sort of mulling the idea of something beachy for my next series. And Irish beaches are nice. So we'll see. But there's still that trade-off of, I also would really like a series that sells well. So I don't know. You know,
but Ireland, that could be it for you.
It might be. So I get the dilemma of wanting to do the international setting, because there are readers out there who love it, but they are not necessarily as legion as the ones who prefer not to be overseas.
And I think most readers would say, oh, if I love an author, I'll read it no matter where it's set. But in actual fact, they don't all do that. And there's enough of them that don't, that it is noticeable.
But if you're going to pick, I think, and if you're going to go outside of the US or Canada, I would say England, Scotland, Ireland would be probably the next place to go.
Right. You know, I don't think readers want to read Canada. I think we're just seen as the slightly boring northern neighbor, and not generally where readers want to go. They would rather go somewhere more exotic, I think, in general.
You might be right. I mean, unless you're going to talk about, if you're going to do a Mountie series, because I think readers would read about Mounties all day long. Or if you wanted to do historical, because like When Calls the Heart is huge, and that's in Canada, right? I think, yeah, historical, so I don't know, but I think, there are aspects of it, but you're probably right. That's a bummer. Although, I say that, and this sort of segues us into the next step, which is looking at specific books that are set in international settings. Kimberly Ray Jordan, many of her series are set in Canada. And I guess maybe what it is that Canada is not super different from the United States, because they didn't make my list when I was listing my favorites. And I love those books, but I don't think of them as being non-US, because it's just Canada.
Kimberly has some books set in I want to say Minnesota, Wisconsin area as well.
Yeah.
Or Chicago. It's been
Washington,
a for earlier ones were mm-hmm. set not far south of Manitoba, which is where she lives. But her Callaghan and McFadden series, which right. is what you were referencing, and its kind of spin-off, Fostered by Love
yeah.
series, are set in Winnipeg. Now, I remember that because I grew up living not too far from Winnipeg. So to me, it's like a visit back to my childhood and seeing Winnipeg in a, you know, how it's changed over the years since I've been there, which has been quite a while. But I do notice that her newest series is set in Washington State.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. She did. She crossed the border.
Again.
Yep. All right. So we're going to take turns because both of the, Narelle and Valerie both warned me ahead of time. They're like, I could just monologue for an hour and nobody else needs this. I'm like, no, we're taking turns because we all have books that we want to talk about. So one, you get to talk about one and then we're all going to take turns. And we'll start with Valerie. And if you try to tread into a second book, I'm going to cut you off and make it Narelle's turn. So you're warned.
How about if I just like talk about an author?
That's allowed. Yes.
And more than one book by that author. Can we do this?
Probably for 30 okay. seconds.
So let's let's talk about Marion Ukerman. And we can all talk about Marion. Okay. She lives in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And she's traveled quite a lot herself, personally, which I haven't. But it really shows in her books. So she has books set in South Africa and Namibia, I want to say. Somewhere else in Southern Africa that is not South Africa.
Zambia.
Books set in multiple European countries as well. And if I'm looking for a real escape to somewhere else, Marion probably has a book set there. She's got one in Australia as well.
Yep.
What's your favorite one of hers, Narelle?
Well, the one I picked to talk about, which I love this book, is Poles Apart.
Oh, I love that one too. Great.
And that was on my list.
Yes, and that was the one I picked to show first because it's set in Lapland, the home of Father Christmas, and I'll never forget the scene in that book where they jump into the icy cold water. Do you remember that?
And yeah. then into the sauna. And yeah. The sauna.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's
that pulling the local traditions and style. Like, she does that really well in her books.
Yeah.
And she did it herself in real life, which she I thought did. Was very brave.
Yeah. Her son, I believe, married a woman from Finland.
Yes.
Or that same area. So they had been visiting and she has done this. Yeah.
Yeah. So she Lapland is in Finland, I think by memory. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she has Helsinki Sunrise as well, which is also there. So yeah, she's got it covered. She's written books in several of the countries like Norway that you just don't see really often. So
yeah,
tons of fun.
My favorite of hers is actually Orphaned Hearts, which is in, I think, Kenya.
Yes.
In the
Zambia.
Is it Zambia? Okay.
That's the one.
I looked it up.
That's the one I was thinking of.
With the elephant sanctuary.
Yes.
And that's fantastic. I love that. Because you don't, I mean, that's not something where you're going to be confused that it could be Canada. It could be,
no. Not at all.
No, it's Africa, and it is very, that's where it is. I mean, maybe, I guess it could be Thailand because they have elephants there also. But, I just love that. It was so unique. So unique.
Yeah, she does a good job with her settings that the story really couldn't happen someplace else.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah. It totally is. All right, Narelle, pick another one.
Okay. This one, I'm picking a box set, which is Autumn MacArthur. Isn't that a pretty cover?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's her Love in Store series, which she's based around the first few books anyway, a department store in London, so I think Harrods. And it's just a really fun series, and it was just really fun. I like reading stories that are set in Britain, so her English stories appealed to me. So that was the next author I picked, and she's written books in, there's a book in Paris, like Forget Paris.
Forget
book
that
I really enjoy. That series.
I love that.
Yes.
That's my favorite in that series.
Yep. Okay. All right, Val, do you want to talk about it?
That book goes back and forth between France and England, but I really enjoyed the whole premise of Forget Paris by Autumn MacArthur. A lot of fun. And because she's an Aussie who's been living in England for many, many years now. So she also has a real perspective on that international vibe that I find really fun.
I also had Autumn on my list. And as much as I love, I did have particularly Forget Paris because I do really love that one. But yeah. I actually love her Maclean's, which is sort of a spinoff of the Love in Store series. I love them better. Just by a hair, because they're Scottish.
They're great too.
So I love the Macleans, and she has Fraser, who is, I think, my favorite hero that she has ever written. He's just taciturn and amazing, and I love him. I don't know that in real life I'd want to be married to him, but he makes a fabulous book hero.
Cool.
All right. We're working through my whole list. Valerie, how about you? What's another one?
I have read several of Juliet Duncan's books set in Australia. So those are fun as well. She is Aussie and she writes set there. And again, it's not something that can take place in Canada or the United States. You're not just going to like run into a random kangaroo anywhere out my window. So it is really fun. And I enjoy her style. I did not write down any specific titles though. So if anybody else wants to run with that, go for it.
I've enjoyed every book I've read by her. So I don't have a specific title either. I wrote down Juliet Duncan.
Yes. It's where do you draw the line on how many things you talk about?
Yeah. So I'm going to sneak in before Narelle gets a chance.
Okay.
I get to mention Kara Isaac first, so. but I'm not going to just say Then There Was You, which has to apparently come up in every podcast episode ever. But she also, my favorite of hers is actually the one that's set in New Zealand, around Hobbiton. Is that the one you have? It is close to you.
Nice.
So that one is just so fun. It is on my bucket list. I have a friend actually who I've actually never met in person, who lives near Hobbiton in New Zealand. And at some point in my life, I want to go visit her and go to Hobbiton in New Zealand with her. I just think that would be so fun.
Excellent.
So, so that is fun. And then that branches into, England from that series. It continues over into England, which I don't think you can go wrong with Cambridge.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So her
book, of course there's Narelle's book set in Australia as well. So I'm trying to think who else I've read in Australia. I'm sure that Narelle's got a really long list though.
I can show you one.
Yeah.
I'll jump in. So Meredith Reske, she's an Australian author that's been publishing here for probably over 20 years now. So, and interestingly, she would be what I would call one of the original indie authors. She has a very interesting story about how she started writing and how she got her books out. And she sold an enormous number of print copies in Australia, but no one outside Australia would ever have heard of her. And so she has this series, Luella Lingley, Licensed to Meddle. And that's a mother who's a Regency romance author who's meddling and matchmaking her children. So book two is releasing in 2021, which was a fun story. So I would just recommend looking those up, particularly if you like a bit of humor, and if you want to see some Australian things, she puts a glossary in her books, so you'll be able to understand everything. You don't need to go Google searching. So it's a lot of fun to read Meredith's books, and they're set in Adelaide in South Australia, which is a setting you don't see that often either in CCR.
That sounds fun. I'm going to definitely look those up. I will. Before, do we have a ton more? Because I want to just interject quickly. I guess I can just say that. As far as I'm concerned, a glossary is great, but I don't love when international authors decide to try to Americanize the words and things. I'm like, just use your right spelling that works for you. put the words in, call it the boot or the lift or whatever. We'll figure it out, because I would rather have that authenticity myself than make it feel like the person who wrote the book has never been there, even if you actually live there.
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. I've read a couple where I'm like, have you been to Ireland? Because that's not how they would say that.
And that can be the publisher as well, like, because I was traditionally published, and so it was a real balancing act to have the book so that people understood what you were talking about, but it didn't seem too foreign. So, for example, sidewalk, we would call that a footpath. So if I put a footpath, an American reader is probably going, oh, what are you talking about? You put a sidewalk.
Know it's a path for people. I mean, at least we know it's not like a tree.
There's a big discussion. You can go look this up. There'll be people, readers have quite strong opinions on both sides as to where they fall on that, whether they'd like to, how Americanized they like their books. It's always a constant battle. And it's one of those situations you just can't please everybody. People you won't please other people. Yeah.
That's true. All right. We got a couple more minutes, so we can pick maybe one or two more.
I'm going to go with Liz Johnson, Princess of Island.
It's Narelle's turn.
It's my turn. I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Patricia Beale, who's written two books. Her debut is A Season to Dance, and that's set in the US and Germany, which is that Germany's not a setting you often see either. So that was a really good book. And her second book, if I can find it.
I could have talked about a whole series in between there.
Yes, is Desert Willow. And that book is set in the US in Texas, in El Paso, but also has a connection to Brazil. So the heroine's grandmother is in Brazil, and her dying wish is that this letter is delivered to the colonel, who was her first love in Brazil. So that's a really interesting international story as well. And her heroines in both her books are ballerinas. So I enjoy sort of learning about the world of ballet in her stories.
All right, Valerie, now you may talk about Liz Johnson.
Liz Johnson writes books set in Prince Edward Island.
That is true. She does have Canada, doesn't she?
She does. Yeah, she's a U.S. author, but she loves Anne of Green Gables, and she loves Prince Edward Island. So she wrote a three-book series several years ago, starting with the Red Door Inn.
Yep.
But she has a new series starting out this summer, which I don't remember the title of the first book. I think we'll be talking to her at some point. So
we are in
we'll be talking about that. But yeah, I love her stories, and I love the fact that she's got some set in Prince Edward Island, where I have never been. It's clear across the other end of the continent from me. Someday.
That is far from you. That is far. Very good. All right. I know Narelle had, we got 1 minute, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Carla Laureano's 5 Days in Sky.
Yes.
And what's the third one?
I can't think now.
Is it Under Scottish Stars?
That's yes. Great. Skies?
Okay. Yeah.
Skies.
Scottish Skies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yes. Those are fabulous books.
Yes.
Set on the Isle of Skye.
Which again is sort of unique. You get, you know, the UK, but you don't necessarily get the Isle of Skye.
Right. I loved that because I was very unfamiliar with it when I read that first one, 5 Days in Skye. And just, it may not be exotic in the palm tree kind of exotic, but it was definitely not anything like what I see every day.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, I stole that from you, Narelle.
No, you're absolutely fine. So I was going to say the thing with 5 Days in Skye and also Kara Isaacs, Then There Was You, is they both won Rita Awards. So they're award-winning books that are actually set outside of the US. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Mm.
It can.
Yes.
Awesome. So I think I started my timer a little late and we're already really close to being over. So we're for sure over. So we probably, I think we could keep talking for another 20, 30 minutes. So maybe we'll do another international episode down the road some.
Yes.
And, but for now we probably, we probably ought to wrap up, but there is a lot of armchair traveling to do out there in your CCR. So if you're feeling stuck at home, you know, get a book. There's, we gave you lots of options, and if none of those, or you've read them all, you know, hit up any of us, ask a question under YouTube. We do reply to those comments. I'm sure we can dig up some other suggestions for sure. So anyway, I knew this would be fun, and it was, so that's exciting. And thank you guys all for joining us at Story Chats. If you're watching us on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell. And we hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, don't forget to fall in love with a good book. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.